You're listening to the Go Birds Podcast.
Hello, it is the Go Birds Podcast. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer with you. 1-0, baby. 1-0. Elliot Shore Parks, Eagles have never lost in 2025. It's just a fact.
It is undefeated. Devin Caney on the sideline.
Still never lost.
Winning. A pretty crazy streak.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Should preseason count? By the way, can we move the monitor if possible?
They don't count. I can't see your face.
Okay, here. How's this?
Is this better for you?
That's much better.
Oh, look at that, buddy.
Just can't see your reactions. I can see your hands, obviously.
This is better.
They can see your movements from space. Thank you. Well, it's nice not to wear a soccer kit for once, honestly.
Yeah, what a thought. You're actually wearing like a normal adult shirt.
Yeah.
What a thought.
Kristen said it looks like I'm like a kid going to school.
She's right. It does.
With like my backpack and everything.
It does de-age you a little bit.
Well, I walk a thin line between looking like an adult and like I should get carded.
Same. So the gray hair really helped me. We're younger looking for our age. We get like the, you know, you look young for whatever.
Right.
The gray hair has helped age me more.
See, I don't think I'll ever go gray.
You know, because you don't have that. I mean, like, look at
you're not super gray, but it has started.
It's right there. We got the salt and pepper.
It's good.
Exactly.
Yeah,
dignified.
You know I would be down with the salt and pepper look eventually.
It's pretty dignified.
I don't think it's going to happen for me.
Here's the thing. I will never people can do whatever they want to do to their looks.
Right.
Like, I've never, no issues. Like, I will never dye it. I'm just going to, like, let it go. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
It just, and Emily likes the gray, so for me, it's easy. It's not much of a choice.
Yeah.
I am also someone who, as I'm sure you've noticed with appearance clothes, whatever is the minimal amount of effort that I can put in, the idea that I would take the time to actually do that is really the biggest.
See, I'm the exact opposite.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think I'd ever dye my hair either, to be honest, but it would be a decision.
I think you'd think
about
it.
It's something I would think of. Oh, for sure. Yeah. No question about it.
I don't think you need to, though. I agree.
Yeah, I don't think...
You just got that like light blonde-ish...
My dad's not really...
Blonde brown thing going on. It's good.
See, but I'll probably go like silver fox. Straight gray. Like, you'll be always a mixture, I think.
Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah.
All right.
Football.
Speaking of the Eagles.
speaking of the Eagles.
Preseason football. Here's what I'll say. Official statement. We'll get into the nitty-gritty. We'll talk about, you know...
I think there's a lot of main things to talk about.
You know, when you find out that Tanner McKee is better than Joe Burrow, that's probably one of the things to talk about. But here's what I'll say. One of the more entertaining preseason games.
It was awesome.
Last year, I honestly felt like watching the preseason games. I'm not kidding when I say this. I felt like I watched two drives and I was like, I don't even want to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
I was into it last night. Like the fourth quarter, out.
Yeah.
Checked out. But the first three quarters, and particularly the first half, was some entertaining football. It was fun to watch, man.
I will say this too, like a likable group of guys.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're big into this for sure, but you know, you wanna like the guys you're
one of my for, one of my right? things, man. You know?
And just very likable people out there.
I totally agree
like doing
with you.
Well. I also think
celebrating for each other.
Yes.
You know, you saw I thought something that stood out in the broadcast. I know you were at the stadium, so you didn't see the broadcast, but and great job by Scott Graham and our guy Ross Tucker, awesome stuff. But what stood out, and Dave Spadaro, obviously my former boss.
Spuds.
Shout out to Spuds. It really stood out to me that the players they talked to and also just like the background stuff, like just like how much, you know, these guys were...
They're a tight team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and the starters were out there supporting the backups and stuff. When Tanner McKee had the tush push, they're all running over to him and celebrating. I just thought, we talked a lot about it last year. We talked a lot with Sirianni, the whole like that Nick Sirianni won the Super Bowl by getting grown men to love each other. And like you feel it. You feel the culture. It is so real, man.
And for what it's worth, you're right. Like I didn't see the broadcast, but there's a lot of that at practice. Like
That's awesome.
Of the third team makes a play, Saquon's going crazy. You know, the defense, there's a question about whether it catches in or not. Jalen Carter's running down the sideline being like, that's out. So like there is a lot of that at practice for sure.
And I think you hear it in the way they talk about each other too. I know we've talked around the pod a little bit, but you know, Jalen Carter, you just mentioned how he came out and was talking about great Tyler Tyler Steen is and how tough he is to face in practice. Yeah. Landon Dickerson talking about how tough Moro Jomo is on. I think you're just seeing like it's both. It's like a mutual respect and love between these guys. Yeah. Like they are, you know, for lack of sounding cliche, it feels like a team, man. It feels like a real team.
So the Eagles put out a clip. They do like that awesome behind the scenes
they're
video.
So
dude, they're unbelievable.
Great. It's unbelievable.
It literally is Hard Knocks. Yeah. Like it's straight up
no,
Hard
they're
Knocks.
Great
but
at it.
They showed Nick giving his team meeting, and he said the three keys for training camp. And it was conditioning, details, and together. What I thought was interesting about that was it wasn't like, you know, fix the running game. You know,
yeah,
whatever.
Right,
it was
right, yeah.
And conditioning I thought was interesting, but the together part of it. I think he
Which
does.
Which has been,
yeah,
you know,
I think he does view this month as starting to build the foundation of the culture. And
love
I do
it.
Think it was on
love
display
it.
Last night. And we joke about a win, but I thought, too, a huge, like, very macro thing was, after I watched this team practice for 10 practices, and some players that did not look good in practice looked awesome last
like
night.
Johnny Wilson, you've talked about on this
yeah.
pod. You've said Johnny Wilson might not make the team.
And
all
he
that.
Was awesome last
he
night.
He was made those – the two catches he made, those two ones where he went up – he's never done that.
Yeah,
here.
Agreed.
Never seen him
not
do
not
it.
In practice either.
Never seen it in two years.
Last year either. So
Anaya Smith, I thought that guy was like – as off the rosters you could be for a fifth round pick last year.
Yeah,
kick return. You might be the punt returner now. Like I thought to your point, I thought a lot of those guys really shined
well,
last night unexpectedly.
I think what it shows is the depth on this team is different. You know, like when you're the Bengals, you don't have the 22 starters the Eagles have. Now the defensive starters we'll talk about, but mm-hmm. I just thought when Johnny Wilson and Anaya Smith are struggling to make plays in the Eagles training camp and then they go up against a Bengals defense and they look awesome, it speaks to the depth of the team that
it's
the Eagles
great
have.
Point.
And also, shout out to the scouts. Like I thought last night was a real showing of how the scouting department is operating at a high level. Like, we can just start with Tanner McKee, but the fact that Tanner McKee was a six-round pick and now we're legitimately discussing him as like a top 25 quarterback in the league without ever playing, basically, that's an awesome job by the scouting department.
And development group.
And development group. Darius Cooper, undrafted free agent. He looks awesome. Like, so
shout out to you. You called that.
I have a Darius Cooper take.
You
for
were
you
in
that,
on Darius Cooper.
Yeah.
You were on the morning show the day of the game,
yes.
And you got asked, what player should we keep an eye on tonight? And you said Darius Cooper. You know, credit where due. You
all
nail
right.
when you nail. We're victory lap pod.
We are. We're pat ourselves on the
lap.
Back, guys.
You said, check out this guy. And he was
Couldn't
awesome.
Have gone better.
Dude, he was awesome. Like, and look, you keep saying that he doesn't have, like, a special trait.
Right.
And, that's kinda, and I get it, but he catches everything that's thrown his way.
He's just a really, really good football player.
He goes into traffic. He made tough catches. He took hits. Like,
yeah.
I was really impressed with that guy.
All right, so let me just say this now because it's honest to God the number one thing I've been thinking about since I left the stadium. Darius Cooper might be my new Jordan Matthews. Like, let me tell you, everyone listening to this pod, listen up right now. Go to my Instagram or go to my Twitter and watch the video of him speaking at his locker.
Yeah,
after.
You talked about it on the morning show.
It is honest to God a combination of like Remember the Titans where it's like a Disney movie looking at this kid. And then also, this is a super deep cut, but in Sex and the City,
real deep.
The movie. What's the Jennifer Garner is who's the whatever. All right, anyway.
I only saw the movie once.
Okay.
I don't know it well enough.
Well, the Carrie has a friend that's from St. Louis in there.
Okay.
Right. So Darius Cooper steps up. Like, we haven't talked to him yet because they don't let us talk to everybody after practice anymore. So we can't just go up to people. First time he's talked, and he just like goes. He goes, "Hi, I'm Darius Cooper. I graduated from Charlton State. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, and I'm so happy to be here," with a huge smile on his face. Like, what a likable kid. Just what a guy you want to root for. And I also think that while he might have a special physical trait, maybe he's just a special dude. Like, you go to Charlton State and you set all
Tarleton.
Types of record. Charlton, right?
Tarleton with a T.
Tarleton.
Yes.
You go to Tarleton State and you set like all these records. You lead like college football in all these categories. Maybe he's just a dude. Like, maybe he's just somebody that, despite the lack of a true like elite physical skill, in my opinion, maybe I'm wrong about that, but in my opinion, doesn't have like elite speed or elite size or anything like that. But the cut he made last night was pretty sick.
It was awesome.
Right? I think he's just someone you bet on is really my takeaway from being next to him and talking to him last night. I don't think they can cut him. I think they would regret cutting him.
Let's get to that then, because you've got the three receivers who are locks, the AJ,
yeah.
Devontae, and Dotson. And then you've got Johnny Wilson and Anaya Smith Cooper, right? Cook's got hurt last night.
I would keep six.
So that's what I was about to ask, because they normally keep five, at least the last few years. They have kept six in the past. The last few years, it's been five. You think that Darius Cooper, as of right now, is a six receiver you think is going to make the roster as of today?
I'm not saying Darius Cooper is going to go on to be like, you know, an all-star.
He's the six receiver we're talking about here.
But I think, because the other thing to consider is Dotson is a free agent after this year. I do think one thing, and we'll talk about this with the tight ends too, is you got to keep some people in the building to get them ready for next year as well, right? And so if Dotson's not going to resign here, which he probably won't, maybe
I don't think they're going to want to,
well, unless he's so super cheap and whatever.
And look, he could have a big year, who knows?
Yeah, but I think you want to develop a guy like Cooper to maybe step into a bigger role in 2026. I mean, look at on this team how many guys were talking about stepping into a bigger role from last year, and Moro Ojomo, like perfect example, right? Like you hold on to these guys and you develop them, and then 2 years later they end up being contributing starting type players for you. So I would keep Darius Cooper. Like I would keep him. I wouldn't because the other important thing is he goes through waivers. So if you cut AJ Dillon, for example, A.J. Dillon does not go through waivers. Darius Cooper does. So if you cut Darius Cooper, you're allowing yourself to potentially lose him. And if he has two more awesome preseason games, like, he could be gone. And I think they could end up regretting that.
All right, let's stick with the good, then we'll get to the bad. Let's do the Tanner thing. I don't think there's that much to say other than, like, I mean, Tanner McKee's good. He's very good. He's a great backup quarterback. I think he's probably... Look, we both said 25-ish. DeCamera's saying top 20 in the NFL. I think he is one of the... He's a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL. I don't know what he is, what his ceiling is, or anything like that. But what I do know is he is an asset for the Philadelphia Eagles. And he's also someone who could play a big role for them this year if Jalen gets hurt, obviously. The McKee thing last night and what it means moving forward. We've heard like we're hearing, you know, wouldn't trade him for first. I know you probably would.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second.
The Tanner McKee thing after last.
So there's a couple different ways to look at this. And let's look at it first, like just as Tanner, not like what it means for Jalen, what it means for a trade. Just Tanner. I think Tanner is also like a special type player.
I do too.
And
especially the way the teammates, another thing where it seems like teammates love this guy.
Teammates love him. Was it the Mormon Missile they called him last year? Now they're joking with him. So his Madden rating was 61, which by the way, Kyle McCord's Madden rating was 66. They were drafted in the same round, if I remember correctly.
No, Kyle McCord was a 7th round pick.
No.
Yeah.
Kyle McCord was not a 7th.
I think he was.
I think Kyle McCord might have been a 5th round pick.
No.
He was not. I don't even think they made a 7th round pick this year. You look it up, but regardless.
Maybe he was a 6th-round pick.
But yeah, I don't think he was a 7th. But Kyle McCord is 5 points higher than Tanner McKee. They were drafted the same way.
6th round.
6th round, okay, yeah. McKee's played in the NFL. And anyway, so the teammates are joking with McKee calling him 61. Like, you see pictures of Jalen smiling at him as he leads the huddle last night before the game. And so he has that intangible factor to him. He, honest to God, really does remind me a lot of Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Like, just that kind of goofy, cool, but not in, like, a trying-to-be-cool way. I think he's very, like, approachable. Teammates like him. So he has the it factor. But outside of that, he throws a nice ball. He throws an awesome ball. He throws with anticipation.
Very
he throws
catchable
guys
ball.
Open. He gives guys a chance. Like, the ball always seems to be in the right place.
Yeah, real quick, giving guys a chance matters. Like, yeah, him throwing those two balls up for Johnny Wilson. Yeah, I think that's like, you don't, like, there are a lot of young quarterbacks who are hesitant.
Yeah. And he did that last year with AJ. Remember, he threw it up to AJ in the Cowboys game. But I also thought he moved well last night. He's not Jalen, obviously, as a runner, but he can move. Now,
he's not stationary.
Correct. Yeah. And what I really like, and I think this is a result of him not being a good runner, is he keeps his eyes down the field when he moves. Sometimes mobile quarterbacks, especially, when they can run, they get in a bad habit of ducking their eyes. And so when the pocket collapses, they just take off. Tanner McKee keeps his eyes down the field because he knows he's not doing a 20-yard run or whatever.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Now, there's downsides to that. Like, Jalen's legs are a huge asset, and Tanner doesn't have that. But so keep Jalen out of it for a second. Let's say they did not have Jalen Hurts on the roster. I think Tanner McKee could be a franchise quarterback. Like, I think he could be that level. Now,
I'm not sure yet. He definitely could be. Like,
he could be. That's what I'm saying. Could. Yeah. We also then have to take a step back and say, Tanner has not played consecutive games in the NFL. The team...
Well, he's also only really played against backups for
exactly,
the most part.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
And also, no team's game plan for Tanner, right? So, while I think if Tanner was given a full season to start, he would improve, he'd get better. I do not think Tanner is like he steps in and the Eagles win 14 games type of guy right now. And so that's important, right? Like, but the other, then the next thing is, would you trade him? Like, that's the obvious question. Would you trade Tanner McKee? Because his value is super high right now. Teams around the league are going to be intrigued by him. Would you trade him?
I wouldn't. Maybe if I got offered a first plus right now, that's, I would trade him. No, it just, look, I think his value, if it were the offseason, if this had happened 4 months ago, I would have traded him for a first round pick for sure. No questions asked. But like, the season's about to start. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. Like, Tanner McKee is more important than some starters potentially on this team for how important his role could be. Jalen is yet in a season he started to finish it without missing games. It happens every single year with Jalen. Like, this guy's too important. It could be the difference between the one seed and not Tanner McKee. Like, so if I'm going to trade Tanner McKee right now, because I get it, you're saying that trade him while his value is hottest. And I don't know that a season being a backup and maybe a game here or there is going to lower his value. I don't know that.
No, like, agreed. Yeah.
So, but regardless, if I were to trade him now, like, it would have to be more than in the offseason, because I would have to charge a tax, because I'm not going into this season happily with DTR and Kyle McCord as my two backups if Jalen goes down. Like, I'm not taking a hit for this season for the future. I'm trying to win the Super Bowl right now, today. So I get your point. I know that. Like, you get offered a first for Tanner McKee, it's like, of course you should take it, theoretically.
Duh. Yeah, yeah.
Today I can't, because I'm trying to win the Super Bowl. If I'm going to trade Tanner McKee today, you're getting taxed.
Yeah. So we are equally as high on Tanner McKee. And I've been high on Tanner McKee because I've got to watch him practice
him more than 99.999% of Eagles fans.
Nobody in this city that is higher on Tanner McKee than me. That being said, I think if you got offered a second round pick today, you'd have to seriously consider it.
Hold on.
So I am not going to Kyle McCord or DTR, but I think, like, honestly, I would maybe offer the Browns like a fifth for Kenny Pickett, bring him back. You have Tanner, or you could go somewhere else. You could get Jameis Winston from the Giants. I would collect that second round pick asset and then use a lesser asset to go get another backup.
It's not enough for me.
But here's the thing.
I get your point. It's not enough.
Tanner McKee.
You're talking about just going to get some also ran backup. Like, I'm talking about having a backup who can win me the Super Bowl if I had to.
Kenny Pickett.
We saw a backup quarterback
did play well last year, for what it's worth.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett did play well last year.
Yeah, he's fine, but Kenny Pickett's hurt right now.
Agreed. I don't know what the hamstring injury is.
Yeah, I
get your point about especially is, but I think...
And I'm just not trading for a second round pick right now.
I get it.
No way.
Like, but I think there's a lot of emotion in that. And
No, it's about this season.
Dude, a second round pick, he's thrown but like again, 30 passes in the NFL.
It's not about his value. It's about him on this team this season.
But you can win with other backups, is my point.
I don't think you can in the same way.
Kenny Pickett played awesome last year when he was in.
Kenny Pickett was good. I think Tanner McKee is better now than Kenny Pickett was last year. And also, I was never the biggest Kenny Pickett guy. So
no, I know, you're not.
No, I'm still not.
What if I told you you could get a two for Tanner and Jameis Winston could be your backup?
I'd rather have Tanner. Again, I don't think a two for Tanner is that great a deal, dude. If
dude,
this guy's
two,
going to be a team starting quarterback, like, I want to one.
A two for Tanner is an outstanding return.
It's a good return on the investment of making a pick like that. But what this guy's become, I think he is more valuable than a two.
But the
is
difference is, like,
he might be a good return. I think he's worth more.
Note, I don't think any team is giving you a first round pick for Tanner, to be clear.
I don't want to trade him. Like, I don't, in a perfect world, like, I don't, like, if you brought me a one, like, I would consider it. I don't want to trade Tanner McKee. Like, he is not untradeable for me today. He's borderline untradeable.
So the Saints offer you their second today. You don't do it.
No.
That might be a top 40 pick.
If I'm trading him now, I have to get a lot more. I'm trying to win the Super Bowl.
I get that, but
he's my backup quarterback.
I know, but like, you say like a lot more.
Bring Jameis Winston in?
A
like,
second,
really?
But Jameis, in some ways, makes more sense for this team as a backup.
No way.
Tanner, we have no
Jameis
idea.
Jameis is a disaster.
Like, let's say,
like a nice guy, but
I agree. He seems like a nice guy.
I think, like him as a guy.
I think Jameis would play and have 3 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, right?
I think it would be an awful thing to watch.
But like, Tanner is not going to be here long term. I agree.
I would trade him in the offseason.
My argument for keeping Tanner, if you were going to turn out a two, would be insurance in case Jalen, God forbid.
That's my whole point.
Like, not gets hurt. Like, Jalen, you know, tears his ACL, breaks his back like Carson did.
I know, but that would be
my rationale for keeping Tanner. If it's simply about him stepping in season, I would rather collect the asset.
I think it'd be insane to trade him for two. Maybe a one. I would do that plan of take the one and then go get Winston or someone like that. But even still, like, again, I'm trying to win the Super Bowl.
Right, but you
the
could,
backup quarterback, we, of all people, Foles, of all fan bases, should know how important the backup quarterback is.
I agree,
is.
But...
Again, I think it is more important than your starting punt returner, than your starting
whatever.
Like, I think it is a way more important than, like, might be more important than a starting safety. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
it might be more important than the second corner.
It's so important.
I agree with you 1,000% on that. I'm just saying a second round pick could be a starting level player for you for 3 years on a cheap deal. Like, you have to go get that asset.
Nope. Strong disagree. I'd be intrigued to see what people think. I'm intrigued. And we'll talk.
Oh,
maybe...
I think people would not trade Tanner.
Yeah, I think so
after
too.
After the last
night. Yeah, you think you're on an island on this one.
Yeah, oh, for sure. But I wonder what
Saturday, 1-3. Maybe we'll get into it a little bit on GoBirds Radio. All right. I want to get into the defense because there's a lot. Quickly, last thing on the offense for defense. I think the only other thing to say, running backs look pretty good. I think Shipley and Dillon looked good.
I thought Dillon looked okay.
I thought he had more bursts than I expected.
So I thought the opposite. Now, I haven't rewatched the game, but I thought the one run he had, the hole was huge, and he looked slow to me.
Well, he is slow.
Yeah,
I'm saying he looked faster than he did in Green Bay to me. When I watched him play in Green Bay, he felt really lumbering. Here, there was a little bit more quickness.
Yeah, well, he hasn't played in a year.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if he makes the team, though. Like, I think he'll be in the building, but...
I think he's going to be their third running back.
I'm starting to come around to the BLG, Ben Van Sumeren. Like, he's... he was awesome on special teams last night. Like, so, I don't know.
All right. I want to get to the defense. Obviously, a lot to talk about there, but Elliot, it's crazy, man. Summer's flying by. As you mentioned, we've got Eagles games for less than a month of the season, but if you've been putting off replacing your windows, you know it's still going to be hot for a couple more months, so there's still time to take advantage of Window Nation's biggest sale of the summer. It's a deal you can't afford to miss if you have DraftKings Windows.
And Window Nation is backed up by an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau with over 45,000 five-star reviews. They have over 1,500 styles, so you can find the perfect windows to make your home beautiful, all protected by a lifetime warranty.
And as a backup quarterback, much like Tanner McKee, their quality control is unmatched, Every window goes through a 50-point factory inspection, then another 20-point inspection at your home. Inspections out the wazoo. Their crew leaders average over a decade of experience. You know the job is going to be done right
and
the first time.
Right now is the time to act. So through August 31st, which is... crazily enough, like
that's what I'm saying.
Get 50% off and pay absolutely nothing until 2027. That's zero down, zero payments, zero interest for 2 years. Schedule your free estimate at windownation.com or call 866-90-NATION.
All right, the defense. Let's go level by level. We'll go from the outside in because that was obviously, I think, the biggest story of the night last night from a defensive perspective. It was Kelee Ringo and Dory Jackson getting absolutely roasted.
I didn't think
by the best in the world, like Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. But
I didn't think Adoree got roasted.
I mean, he had five targets, four of them were caught, and one of them was a drop. So, like, I don't know. Like, the numbers didn't bear out great for him. Either way, neither guy played well.
Well, Kelee got roasted.
And
now,
I think they were both bad.
Yeah. So, big picture too to what you're saying, we can definitely sit here and go, well, it's mostly backups. But like, kind of not. Like, Sydney played, Trotter played, Campbell played, Kelee played.
I do think having Carter at the first level, Bond at the second level, and Quinyon Cooper at the third level, like it changes everything. I think your defense, it changes everything about it. So I do think you do have to mention that. But we're also talking about corners and coverage. Like, can you cover the guy or not?
So,
you know.
So I am feeling pessimistic about the defense this morning. That's just my mood on it right now. Maybe I'm not seeing it clearly. Maybe it's just how I'm feeling. But like, the defense might be a problem this year. We are all expecting these players to have awesome years again. Quinyon and Cooper, yes, they were awesome last year. To expect them to step in and save the defense, I think, is asking a lot. And maybe they will because they're super elite. But Kelee and Adoree might be a problem. Zach Bond is dealing with a back injury. I don't think there's long-term concern about it, but he's not practiced in training camp at all. And he's had 1 year of being elite at linebacker. The talent, it's not so much that they've lost like Josh Sweat, Milton Williams. You know, thankfully, Chauncey seems like he's
Darius
okay.
Darius Slay.
I actually looked up last night to see if they could trade for Darius Slay. Like, I am concerned about the defense because Kelee. Now we can say it's Jamar Chase, it's Joe Burrow, like,
and
all
it
that
is,
and
it
all
is.
That is fair. All that is fair. But guess what? almost every team has elite receivers now.
You would say is Quinyon Mitchell would be on Ja'Marr Chase.
Then he's on T. Higgins.
True, like, but that's a rare... I think what you would say is for most teams, Quinyon's going to cover that dude, and then Keeley just has to stick with the second receiver. I'm just trying to present... Because I'm with you. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying I think if you're going to come out of it and say, well, it's Ja'Marr Chase, like... Keeley is not going to have to generally cover someone as good as Ja'Marr Chase, theoretically.
Agreed. Now, with the Ja'Marr chasing last night.
I think it's very clear why they're bringing Quinyon to cover.
Yes, why he's moving around.
I think we saw why that's definitely the plan.
But you look at the beginning of the season. I mean, do you have confidence against Keeley and George Pickens?
So here's where I'm at. And I don't want to make excuses. They were bad last night. I am absolutely concerned about that corner spot. My biggest concern coming in to last night and in general has been the pass rush. Will Jalix Hunt and Nolan Smith take a step forward? Will Josh Uche, Aziz Ojulari, either one or both be anything? Like, that's my concern. I feel pretty good about the tackles, but edge rushers I'm concerned about. But I'm concerned about Keeley and Adoree, especially after last night. I said at the beginning, I just can't, when Jalen Carter's not out there, when Zach Bunt's not out there, when Quinyon Mitchell's not out there, I just think for defense especially with Vic and the way his defense works as a unit and the way they all kind of fly together, like I can't let myself take too much away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't come in and be like, I think it's going to be a problem. I'm really concerned. But I can micro look at Keeley Ringo and Adoree Jackson and say, I think they might not be good.
Well, and also,
do you know what I'm saying?
Last year, the Eagles didn't have a weak spot. Like, their edges weren't great for stretches of the season, but you're not really attacking an edge. Like, mm-hmm. in the back seven, they had really good players that played really well. Like, I know Darius Slay, the off-the-field stuff, the podcasting,
good.
No one's attacking Darius Slay.
All their
snap
corners
after.
Were good, and CJ, GJ, and Blankenship were good.
Exactly.
And the linebackers were great.
And now,
great. Vaughn and Nakobe were great last year.
And I thought Sidney was okay last night.
I can't speak
to how he was in coverage, but missed a tackle on the opening drive. I thought he had a few other nice plays. He did end up in the injury tent for what it's worth. Like, maybe he's a guy that's so physical, which we all like, but maybe that's something that's going to keep him off the field.
Of course, it's certainly possible.
Right. So just finish a point. It is Ja'Marr Chase, but the angle he took on that Ja'Marr Chase thing, I don't know if it matters who would have caught that ball. Like, maybe the guy's not running all the way to the end zone because he's not as fast as Ja'Marr Chase, but the angle he took on that Ja'Marr Chase thing was a horrendous angle to take. So I have real concerns about Keeley Ringo, because as someone that also watches him in practice, he's a big time, good coverage, but a great catch. Like, he gives up a lot of catches. Like, he just straight up does. He gives up catches. And while we can sit here and say it's good coverage, like, ultimately your job is to make sure the ball is not caught. And he does not seem to do a great job of that. His personality is kind of quiet, but I also thought he seemed down after the game, which, not the end of the world. Like, I get it. I'm an emotional guy. But, I think at that position, you kind of have to have
some swag,
a forget about it mentality.
Well, it was the old Mills thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That was and he's not the greatest corner ever, but he's a solid, serviceable NFL corner.
He's probably better than Keeley.
Sure. My point with Jalen, that was the whole thing where it was that he would do the finger wag because he was able to forget about the play where two plays ago he just got burned for a touchdown, come out and made a play. You're damn right I made a play.
I can't tell you
that kind of attitude.
How many games Jalen Mills would play, people would be roasting him online, I'd get in the locker room afterwards, and the dude is in a good mood, right? And not saying that negative, but just he was a confident dude. I thought Keeley seemed down after the game. And so, I get it, that was a big chance for him and he didn't play well. I thought Adoree played a little better than the numbers indicate.
I think Adoree was better than Keeley, but I think they were both better.
Yeah, I just don't have confidence in Adoree Jackson and Sidney Brown starting for this team. Full stop. I don't. And
so Ja'Quarian Bennett real quick, because he wasn't there. He hasn't played at all. And look, we don't know. You've said it on the show. The numbers look good. You know, it looks like a nice upside play. Yeah. I think it's pretty clear. And I do think there is something to the fact that he went right before Keeley on the draft. Yeah. I think they probably wanted to pick him. And I think that it shows how they feel. I think that Howie made it very clear how he feels about Adoree Jackson and Keeley Ringo by trading for Ja'Quarian Bennett.
Yeah, I think they are hoping Ja'Quarian Bennett comes in and is way better.
I think if you gave them truth serum, they expect Ja'Quarian Bennett to take the job.
I agree, 100%. But I think they might need to trade for another corner anyway.
Wow. That's not good.
They might need another body, and Yeah, so I'm excited to watch Ja'Quarian Bennett play. Again, I think it's asking a lot of someone that
has
played like 13 NFL games. It was a fourth round pick to come in and be the guy that fixes
sure it's
the
15 NFL games, Elliot. I mean, come on.
I know, yeah, exactly. But and like how has he not practiced yet? But but no, I mean, it's asking a lot of him. Like, they are asking a lot of, on defense, they are asking a lot of players to play above what is maybe a realistic expectation for them.
Well, step further, they're asking a lot of really young players.
Exactly, super young players. Yeah. Like, again, and I'm not trying to harp on this, but they're asking Quinyon to travel with the best receiver in the NFL week after week in his second year in the NFL. And if he's not good at that, then that secondary becomes a major problem super quickly. They're asking Cooper to play two different positions in his second year. It's just asking a lot of these guys.
No, you're right. It's a lot. You're absolutely right.
Like,
I'm not concerned, but the way you're talking about it is
concerning.
And again,
I'm in a pessimistic mood, so I could easily spin this where, like, Quinyon's awesome. Like, what are we talking about, right? Jalen Carter changes
everything.
Yeah, yeah. All that, right? But, like, I just, last night, I think it's easy to write away as it's the Bengals, but, like, there was a lot of guys that are expected to play. Jeremiah Charter Jr. might start. He was playing in the fourth quarter of that preseason game.
And I thought he was okay. I thought he was better than Mondon, for sure.
Yeah, so another thing, it's always interesting hearing what, like, the people that watch the broadcast think versus what I think. I thought Mondon was fine.
He was okay. He just looked small out there. He looked like he got pushed around a little bit.
Yeah, he's almost a safety linebacker hybrid type of guy.
He just looks, but
in coverage he's awesome.
Yeah,
which helps.
And look, I thought Trotter was all right. Let's get to Campbell and then we'll get to the front D line. I think
Can I ask you one question quickly?
Yeah,
what did you think of Sydney?
Oh, I'm 100% with you. I do not expect Sydney Brown to be the starting safety on this team. I don't.
Well, if he is,
I don't feel good about it.
Okay, yeah. I'm in 100%. The same place. Yeah.
I love the energy. He is just too wild and too reckless. And to your point before, like the angles he takes, he is just, I need, especially at that position, like if you told me you could have the guy who's going to fly around or the guy who's going to be cerebral and know exactly where to be and what to do and take the right angles and stuff, I'm going to take the cerebral guy at that position.
And especially at
every time.
Especially on this team.
That's what I mean.
They don't need a playmaker at safety. Like, they need someone to be where he's supposed to be.
To be where he's supposed to be. And I think that's what Vic wants. So I think that's why you saw McCollum play last year over Sidney Brown.
Yeah.
Because at least he would be where he was supposed to be even if he wasn't as gifted. All right, let's get to John Campbell. I think the number one take that all of us should have with John Campbell was, thank God he was out there on the field last night. That's so cool.
Yeah,
when they drafted him, the fact that he's playing in the first preseason game after he fell and the whole thing, like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Some good, some bad, but I thought he was flying around out there. I thought it was fine.
I'm not, the reaction online, I think.
People were stoked online.
Oh, okay. Where are they?
I thought people were, like, really high on John Campbell.
Okay, good.
At least that's what I saw.
I thought it was fine.
Obviously, they dropped interception, but whatever.
Should have had it, but I think that's a tougher play than people think. Like, the ball's behind you, you're turning.
And also, he had it, and it, like, the ball hit the ground. It's like a tough spot where he didn't have a chance to really, like, cradle the ball.
So he said after the game, what he has to do is, like, when he's going down, he's got to turn it, whatever.
Yeah, he's got to find a way to not have the ball slam right on the ground like that.
Yeah, and honestly, I thought his answer on that was encouraging. Like, as a young player, to talk about the technique of how he should have done it better, I thought was a good answer. I was a little surprised he didn't start. Like, what are we doing here? Like, the guy's probably going to start week one. Why is Smile Mondon Jr. the first linebacker out on the field?
Vic's weird with some of that stuff.
Yeah,
he did that last year, too. I don't know. I don't have a good answer. My only answer is Vic's weird. I really agree.
Like, I don't think it's a sign that, you know, they don't think he's doing well, right? It's a weird decision for them to make now. You know, and then Trotter stayed in for a while. Like, so with Campbell, should have had the interception. It was cool he was out there. You know, he's ultra athletic still. Like, you can see when he moves out there, he really does cover a lot of space. But I didn't think there was, like, at least now, and I'll rewatch it, but like anything that super stood out for better or worse.
All right, let's get to the D line. And again, you know, Jalen Carter. We didn't see Jordan Davis. We didn't see a lot of those big guys in the middle, but we did see Uche Ojulari out there.
Yeah.
I didn't see Ojulari
well,
too
much.
They
were out there, yeah.
And let me tell you something. My favorite number in the world is 13. It's my favorite number. All of them.
Wow.
Our wedding anniversary is August 13th.
Is this
we
like
started
a,
dating
isn't
on
it,
October 13th.
It's an unlucky number.
I love it.
Okay.
Don't care about that.
All right.
He looks awful in number 13.
Yeah.
It is an awful, horrendous, disastrous number for an edge rusher to wear.
I'm
like, honestly, it might be the worst number I've ever seen a player in.
Josh Sweat, 19?
That up there. That yeah. Honestly, I thought about that. But like 13 centers might be worse.
Yeah.
I don't, it's my favorite number. That's how bad it looks for me to. It's my favorite number. And I was like, you look awful.
I'm concerned about Ojulari.
Yeah. I'm concerned about the edge rusher thing because like Uche, I know, has been good in practice, but he didn't do anything last night.
Right.
And he's also someone who has had one good season. And
yeah,
agreed. One good season is better than none. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But he's someone who had one monster year and has been super duper average or below otherwise.
Yeah. Like some years you hit on all the flyers you take and some years you don't. Ojulari just seems like a dud to me. And, you know, he was a first-round pick, blah, blah, blah.
He's a second-round pick.
Are you sure about
so
that?
So I'll take you a little behind the dugout here.
Okay.
Beat the Hammer this week. One of the questions was the Eagles have four players. Saquon Barkley is one of five Eagles players.
Pick.
Yeah, I know. Trust me.
Yeah.
I know because of Beat the Hammer. One of five Eagles players who was a first-round pick for another team who is on the Eagles now. And I thought Aziz Ojulari was
me
the answer because you had
said
it. Well, it's because you said it on the air. That's why I thought it.
Bad job
by
me.
And I looked it up and I was like, oh, he's a second round pick. So I knew for sure.
Dude, I thought he was like a top 20 pick.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
just
he's
dead
a second
wrong
round
about
pick.
That.
Yeah, Dory was a first round pick.
All right. Well, it's even worse. I mean, he wasn't a first round pick, but he just has not stood out physically. Like, he doesn't look very fluid out there when he moves. Yeah, I'm not encouraged by that signing.
So where
are
we at? I thought Gabe Hall looked all right. Like, Gabe
Hall,
guy you mentioned. I think he stands out. He's
physically,
big.
He's huge. Like, he had a really good pass rush to start the game.
My point is, I don't know what we can take away from the pass rush last night, but like what we can take away wasn't great.
Yeah. I was concerned about the defense coming out of that game because, now, you know, Nolan didn't play. Again, like, guys are not out there.
Yes, yeah, and it matters. Yeah, it's hard.
It matters.
Guys who matter didn't play.
But again, to circle the point of this, like, you're asking a lot of Jalix
Hunt.
Jalix
Hunt has to be awesome the way this whole thing is set up. Like, Jalix Hunt and Nolan Smith both have to be awesome.
And they might be.
They might just be awesome.
They might be, right? But, like,
but you're asking a lot. And then injuries, the way they like to move guys in and out. This is a team that, like, Brandon Graham was in the Aziz Ojulari or Josh Uche role last year.
Yeah.
Brandon Graham was really good for the Eagles. Like,
Josh Sweat.
Like, the point is that they like to move these guys in and out. Like, yes, we need Nolan Smith and Jake Hunt to be awesome for this to work. But then on top of that, you also need other guys to be contributors.
Yes,
you know?
So, 100%.
Yeah,
so,
that's why I've brought it up so many times. Like, my biggest worry is the edge rushers.
So this is a little related to defense, a little not. But I saw a tweet recently I thought was interesting. I think it was Eagles Eric that posted it. And it was basically showing that the first 4 weeks of the season last year, the defense was bad,
mm-hmm.
right? And then obviously the rest...
Cooper came in and
right.
changed.
But I think what it also showed is like the defense was awesome last year, to be clear, not diminishing. But like one of the reasons the defense was so good is because the offense took care of the ball and was
of
awesome
course,
too,
and
right?
They ran the ball.
Exactly.
Kept the defense on the field.
And that's true.
Yes.
That's true.
They all help each other out.
Yeah, they all help each other out, right? Like, offense better be great this year because there is a world where this defense,
takes
A, needs
back.
The help and takes a step back. So they got time.
They likely will. They were the best defense in football last year.
Yeah.
It is very likely that the defense will be worse this year than last year. It's just a question of how much.
I meant to look this up. I'd be curious to see in the past 10 years, how many years Fangio's defense has been good 2 years in a row.
It's a great question. I have no idea.
Yeah. I could look it up briefly while we talk. But,
all right. Any other takeaways from last night before we get to final thoughts?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, I think the last thing I would say is the receivers were very good. Like, I feel very encouraged by how we talked about him a little bit, and but it was exactly what you wanted to see
from an area that you had talked about. It's like, I'm concerned.
You
said that multiple times the week leading up to the game that, you know, you kind of highlighted that as an area of concern for you.
Yeah, and I thought they were very good. Just the fact the offense moved really well, I thought was a good look for Petullo.
I agree with you.
I mean, they had like over 400 yards.
And
they scored 20.
They just functioned with all backups in there, essentially. They functioned at a high level.
Yeah. So
there
they didn't look sloppy.
Yeah. There were no delay of games. There was no false starts all the time. Like, stuff like that. It just seemed pretty clean from that perspective.
All right. So I'm going to tell you right now. Points. Oh, man. I messed it up. Never mind. I'm messing this up. I'm seeing how many. All right. The last 10 years in points. Fangio's defense, 2017-2018, they were ninth and first. Then it went 10th, 25th, 3rd, 22nd, 2nd. So,
there you go.
Not super consistent.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's hope this is the first time he does do it.
Yeah.
All right. Final thoughts, my friend.
I have to pull up the thing. Give me 1 second.
I would say,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, Have you watched The Pitt on HBO?
No, I haven't, but I've heard great things. I love Noah Wiley on ER back in the day. So I liked ER a lot. Ever since ER, I have found myself less and less interested in
hospital shows.
Yes. Like, I love horror movies. I love, like, seeing gruesome kills.
Right. Yeah,
like,
no, the girls, I agree with where that. You're going.
But
with
once
this.
It's real, yeah, like, not even real, like, fake real, right. Whatever, I'm out.
I agree.
I'm so out.
I'm a big, like, it'll just be me and Kristen on the couch, and they'll start to cut in, and I'm like happy people can't see me because I'm a big like put my hand up. And
me
go, like,
too.
Ugh,
I mean,
like,
I pull my phone out.
Yeah, like, oh, I don't want
to
look.
I literally will say to Emily when these things happen, I'll be like, tell me when it's done.
Yeah, it's not. I agree with it. Yeah. With that. Now, I actually also agree with you. I'm not a big hospital show person. Like, I didn't watch ER, not intentionally. It just, I was young. I didn't really watch it.
I was a little older than you.
But first of all, The Pitt is awesome.
That's what I've heard.
Highly recommend it.
Everyone says it's great.
It's super, super good. So anyway, recommend the show. But the final thought is, I think of all the acting parts, like being a doctor and learning the lines of a doctor seems really, really hard. Like when you watch them and they're like, you know, I don't even know how to say the words, like, you know, 10 cc's of blah, 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 give me this. Blah, blah, like, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. I think it seems very difficult to learn.
Sure.
And
yeah, it's like a whole, you're learning your lines, but you're also learning a whole new
exactly. Like, it's not
way
words you're used to saying. Like,
no,
if I play a teacher in something, like, obviously every job has different things, but
I get what you're saying.
I'm using pretty regular vernacular. So with a doctor, I feel that. But then also,
you got medicines you have to say.
Yeah,
like,
and like understanding it.
Hydrochlorophobidus.
Understanding it well enough where you can both say it confidently and act upon it, I think is really impressive.
Okay. I get down with that a little bit.
And the final thought from that would be, obviously, I don't think you learn how to be a doctor from playing a doctor, but I think you definitely probably learn a lot from doing
that. I'm not a doctor. I just play one on TV.
Well, 100%. But I do think there is a real world where if you played a doctor for 10 years on TV, and you found yourself in a situation.
We're going a step too far here.
Where like, I would
maybe
not trust you.
Maybe you could, like,
you.
Do CPR or something.
Yeah, but
I think
you're,
like, giving someone a tracheotomy or something like that.
No, you could. I agree with that, but I think you would have such a better knowledge than
the
regular.
Of the situation.
Yes,
you might
exactly.
feel more comfortable in the situation.
I think
do
you
that,
would.
Like, inherently, just because you've been in those, even if they're not real,
you've heard it so
it
many
feels
times.
Familiar.
Yes, I think there is something
I think
to that. And I think it's probably true with a lot of acting things. Like, if you play a lifeguard for 15 years, you probably are better at being a lifeguard than like me or you would be.
Elliot?
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
See, you were dismissing it at
no,
first, but I think.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think it's a good point.
All right.
Well, because I thought you were going too far with it, but you didn't. You went the right amount of far.
I think like you would have way more knowledge than random person.
No, I think
it's
a good point. And I think to just comfort in situations, whatever.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Okay.
Great show though.
Something I've been thinking about, and it's something, so like, I think when you become a parent, like, you expect a lot of things. You don't expect the specific, like, you don't know specificity-wise, but, you know, you expect, you know, milestones or this or that. One thing that I didn't think about that is such a funny part of parenting is having to explain things to kids that you just know how to do and don't remember.
Yeah, and how to explain.
Like blowing a bubble.
Right.
Or whistling. Or snapping.
Right.
These things that, like, you've just always known how to do as far as I can remember. Like, I don't remember learning how to blow a bubble. I just knew how to blow a bubble.
So you're talking about, like...
At some point I learned... So, like, I'm
talking about
there,
blowing a bubble out of, like,
I'm talking about gum. I'm talking about, like, a piece of gum.
All right.
And I'm, like, trying to... like, and then I'm lit. I'm, like, so I'm, like, blowing bubbles. And I'm, like, thinking about how I did. I'm, like, all right, so you want to stretch it across your whole tongue? No, like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I don't know how...
And then I'm, like, you want to... close your teeth kind of on the back and then you're blowing kind of under your teeth. And look, it worked. She learned how to blow a bubble. She learned how to whistle. Explaining whistling, it's like you're kind of closing the little hole and you're kind of pushing your tongue a little bit more. Like, it's funny having to explain things that you never, ever, ever, ever thought about how you do it. You just do it. And then you have to explain how they work. It's just a weird little
life. So I'm trying to think because... I feel like if I had to explain to someone how to blow a bubble.
It's harder than you think.
Yeah. I feel like I would say you take the gum and put it against the back of your teeth and then you stick your tongue through as you open your mouth and then blow.
So that's pretty good. So
right? Like,
I feel like the key is to put it behind your teeth.
You gotta
wrap your tongue, the gum around your tongue. That's what I explain. You have to get the tongue, the gum all the way around your tongue and you're holding the gum towards the back of your tongue with your teeth, kind of holding it down a little bit, and you're kind of just blowing air underneath your teeth.
So the other tough part of this, I think,
and you're kind of transferring it to the lips, which is the next part. But
well, the other, so like
ridiculous is this?
I know,
right?
I agree.
That's
so
what I'm saying.
I have blown many a bubble in my life with gum, and I've never felt unsafe doing it. But when I explain it,
it
does make me feel a little bit like, make sure you don't do this because like you could swallow the gum. Like,
I know.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things you don't think about, and then when you have to do it, it's like, wait, how do I explain whistling?
Seems like it.
You would think it's easier.
Not good podcasting,
when kids don't know how, they blow air out and nothing comes out, and then you have to realize you do it with your tongue, use your tongue in there. Like, there's stuff that it's like hard to explain.
I always think it's cool. This is kind of related, but not like thinking about how much the tongue moves in very subtle ways to create different noises.
Sure.
Like, and you don't, obviously you don't think about it because you just do it, but it is pretty crazy how the tongue, like, it's really important.
Makes sound. Yeah. It's really important.
Important, you know.
That's right.
It would suck to get your tongue cut out.
Yeah, I agree. Good take.
Painful, too.
We landed on a good take there.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
All right. Saturday. Tomorrow, 1 to 3 on WFP. We want to talk to all of our real
Tanner
ones.
Tanner time.
Tanner time.
A lot of Tanner,
we'll be
sure.
Talking Tanner. And then, obviously, next week, keep it rolling. We are...
joint practices, 2 days.
That'll be big. So we'll be covering that big time. Obviously, a bunch of pods for that. So until then, he's Adam James.